The Book Collectors of Dareya, a band of Syrian rebels and the stories that carried them through a war. By Delphine Minuit. Translated from the French by Lara Vergniaud. Read for you by Nikki Massoud.
There is no jail that can imprison the free word, nor is there a siege tight enough to prevent the spread of information. Mazen Derwish, Syrian human rights activist, in a speech given on April 23, 2016, following his release from jail in 2015. Prologue. Istanbul, October 15, 2015. It's a remarkable image. A mysterious photo that somehow escaped the hell that is Syria without a trace of blood or bullets. Two men in profile, surrounded by walls of books. The first one leans over a text, open to the middle. The second scans a shelf. They're young, in their 20s. One sporting a hooded sweatshirt, the other with a baseball hat secured firmly on his head. Artificial light frames their faces in an enclosed, windowless room, emphasizing the unexpectedness of the scene. A fragile parenthesis in the midst of war. The photo fascinates me. I came across it by chance on Facebook, on the page kept by Humans of Syria, a collective of photographers. I read the caption, "The Secret Library of Dareya." I repeat it out loud. Secret Library of Dareya. The three syllables crash into one another. Dareya, the rebel. Dareya, the besieged. Dareya, the starved. I've read and written a great deal about this suburb of Damascus, one of the cradles of 2011's peaceful uprising. Since 2012, it has been surrounded and blasted by Bashar al-Assad's forces. The idea that these young readers are hidden in an underground basement as bombs explode above their heads arouses my curiosity. What's the story behind this picture? What's the hidden angle? The image haunts me, drawing me like a magnet to an inaccessible place. Syria has become too dangerous a destination. It takes me several calls on Skype and WhatsApp to track down the photographer, Ahmad Mudmani. Ahmad is one of the co-founders of this secret haven. Through a spotty internet connection, their sole portal to the outside world, he tells me of his devastated city. Houses in ruin, fire and dust, and, amid the tumult, thousands of books saved from the rubble and reassembled in a refuge accessible to all of Dareya's residents. He spends hours explaining this project to save their cultural heritage, born from the ashes of a town that won't yield. He tells me about the incessant bombing, the empty stomachs, the soups made of leaves to stave off starvation, the voracious reading to nourish the mind. The library is their hidden fortress against the bombs. Books are their weapons of mass instruction. His story is riveting. It rings out like an ode to peace that Syria's leader is hell-bent on muffling. An underground chorus that the jihadists of Daesh want to eradicate. A new voice that sprang from loudspeakers at the early demonstrations of the anti-regime uprising and was nearly muted by the ongoing conflict. This unheard account of their revolution whispers, "Write me down." It is a perilous undertaking. How can you describe something you can't see, that you haven't lived? How do you avoid falling into the trap of misinformation, knowing Assad is not the only one spreading it? Aside from the books they are reading, what kinds of ideas do these young men entertain? Are they really jihadists, as the regime would have us believe? Or mere rebels who refuse to surrender? In Istanbul, I calculate the distance separating me from Dareya, 932 miles. I study the myriad ways to get there. But there's no point. Since my last trip to Damascus in 2010, when I was living in Beirut, I've been unable to get another press visa to access the Syrian capital. Even if I could get to Damascus, how would I reach the trapped suburbs?